So as you know, arhat is a Sanskrit word, and in Tibetan we call it dachampa, which means like, you know, one who has destroyed the foe, right, the enemy. You know. So the one who has abandoned or eliminated the delusions by applying the antidote is called arhat. Buddhahood? Dachampa regora sangya bala. You know, you have to become an arhat. It depends, and if you are traveling into the, you know, the Mahayana path, without going through the Hinayana path, if you're going straight from the into the Mahayana path, and then you become four destroyer at the same time as you become Buddha. So achieving, you know, the state of the Buddhahood and achieving the state of the Arhat for that kind of that, you know, type of person would be same, achieving at the same time. So that changes some about the Dajumbaina, and that's also my Dajumbain changes some in Lago Maravis. Lago Maravis. In case you invite another, because my incident is Lago Maravis. When I can't go to Machi Kaduna, then I'll change some other than changes some other than a sang in some Yamaras, Sunguaras. Then my mind, steam my Sunguaras. Yeah, you're not supposed to say, if you're a bodhisattva or arhat, you're not supposed to say that you are an arhat. If you say, there is a danger. And so it because the reason why it's prohibited, you know, from saying that, you know, is because if you say that, of course, someone who is arhat says, I'm arhat, that's no problem, or there's no danger, of course. But the problem is, you know, and because, you know, someone who is arhat says, I'm arhat, and then people, you know, go to him and then receive teaching and make offerings, you know, serve him and so forth. Yeah. And then later, then other person says, oh, you know, because he said arhat, so he gets all these, you know, offerings and, you know, service, so I'm going to say I'm arhat also. And then people, like that, people can deceive others, you know. And by deceiving like that, you know, when they are not arhat, then of course they will not have all the qualities of the arhat, you know, to teach and to, you know, help others. So they might lead them, you know, in the wrong way and then throw them into the lower realm. And then they themselves also, you know, throw into the lower realm. So that way they are going to deceive others and themselves. So therefore, you know, it is not good. You know, it is dangerous, you know, to say that I am arhat, even if you are. Sorry? So, you know, of course, you know, you should, it's up to you. You know, it's not that you shouldn't, you know, believe or you should believe, but it's up to you. But usually, you know, it's not considered polite or, you know, good, you know, to say that, oh, I am a lama, I am a, you know, an arhat in Tibetan tradition.
So
So, you know, usually you don't have to say, I'm a lama, you know, to others. If he's or she is really lama, you know, then, you know, his or her knowledge or quality will come out. And then people will see it, and then people will, you know, go to him or her and receive teaching, you know, respect, and so forth. You know, so from then, and then, you know, then he, you know, it's like same as saying, you know, I'm a lama. But he didn't say, you know, he or she didn't say, you know, from their mouth, but you know, it became like, you know, saying lama. But in that case, it's all right, you know. So, you know, it's, I don't know if you understand correctly in English when it says, with respect to the phenomena. It says here clearly, valid inferential cognizer are pervaded by conception. So if it's a valid inferential cognizer, it has to be conception. Right? It has to be conception. But if it is an inferential cognizer with respect to a phenomena, it is not necessarily a conception with respect to that phenomena. You understand that part there? So when it says, you know, but if it's an inferential cognizer with respect to a phenomena, it is not necessarily a concept, you know, with respect to that phenomena. Right? So if it is, you know, like when you say the sound is impermanent because it's product, so that's inferential, right? That's inferential, and that is also conception. That's inferential, that's conception. But by saying that, when you say that sound is impermanent because it's product, you understand the sound to be impermanent, right? The sound to be impermanent. With that very sentence, you also understand with that very sentence, right? Somebody says sound is impermanent. You understand sound is impermanent, right? Somebody said sound is impermanent because it is a product. So you understand the sound is impermanent. With that very sentence, you also understand the sound is not permanent, right? I say, you know, sound is permanent. Sound is impermanent because it is a product. So when I say that, you also understand sound is not permanent, right? So that is indirect understanding. So that kind of indirect understanding is inferential. It's inferential. Right? That understanding is inferential, but it's not conception. Okay? Okay, now second. Okay, listen all the whole thing, then you'll understand. That kind of understanding, directly what I said, sound is permanent. Right? Sorry, sound is impermanent. I'm confusing you, sorry. Directly what I said is sound is impermanent, right? Indirectly what you understand, indirectly I said sound is not permanent. So you understood both of that, right? So that both are inferential, okay? But the second one, the indirect one, it says, which you understood indirectly, the sound is not permanent. So that is inferential, but that is not conception. Okay? So understanding the sound to be impermanent is inferential and is conception. But understanding the sound to be not permanent, which is indirectly understanding, you know, is inferential but not conception. Okay, the reason is if it's conception, it has to be direct. If it's conception, it has to be said directly. Okay? Yeah, if it's conception, it has to be said directly. Or understand directly, or send directly, or understand directly. Okay? So here we're talking about the direct and indirect. If it's conception, it has to be said directly or understood indirectly. Because it is not said directly, therefore it is not conception. So anyway, it's not said or sinner, so when it appears, the word I said, the sound is permanent. Sound is impermanent. That to your eye to your ear consciousness, that sound appears as what? Direct, right? But indirectly, anyway, so it, if it's a conception, then it has to appear directly. No. I think it is.
There is some conceptual.
Now, again, here, when you say the direct and indirect, it is not what you understand is direct or indirect, What appears to you, what appears to your ear consciousness, is a direct or indirect. Directly, what I said is sound is impermanent because it is product. Indirectly, what you and what I said is sound is not permanent. It's not understanding. Of course, you are not understanding sound to be impermanent directly. If you are understanding sound to be impermanent directly, I don't have to give you a reason, because I gave you the reason. That means shows that you didn't understand it directly. So what what I said. Obviously what I said, and behind that what you understand. So that's I don't know if that helps, to be a little different from direct or indirect.
Indirect,
or explicit or implicit, yeah. Okay. That's how she
choose a good
word. Yeah. Thank you.